like to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. In just a while, we'll be reading from the 44th chapter of the book of Genesis. I want to thank you for those of you who have offered to donate clothes for our trip to Jamaica. If you have them here with you, I would request that you bring them in the building. We're putting them in the back classroom down the hallway, the one to the left. That's full of other supplies and things. There's a suitcase and several bags back there, so just put them there. And we will certainly do the best we can to make sure that they get there. And we again thank you and solicit your prayers on behalf of those that will be traveling beginning Friday morning to the island of Jamaica. You know, forgiveness is not always difficult. The reason why is because the person that wronged you did so unintentionally. Or perhaps because they're young and immature, young in the faith, don't know better. Or perhaps it's someone in the world that you have low expectations of, and therefore it's not always that difficult to forgive. That's not always the case. Sometimes forgiveness is extremely difficult because it was intentional. It was premeditated. Because they knew how much they were going to hurt us. Because they were not so young in the faith. Or it was someone that you may have high expectations of. I am convinced that when the Lord said, "If your brother repents, you must forgive him." That is one of the most difficult commands in the New Testament to obey. And a great example of that is this wonderful character by the book of Joseph that is found in the Old Testament. He became the victim of intense hatred and bitterness by his brothers. In fact, the text tells us that they could not even speak peaceably with their brother. And this bitterness grew, and finally they plotted to take his life, and he knew it. And instead, they sold him into slavery. And it's interesting that in the 42nd chapter of Genesis in verse 21, that after a revelation was made, or after they had come to him for the first time, they would say, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear, therefore this distress has come upon us." He would say, "How can you do this to me? I am your brother." Can you imagine how Joseph must have felt? That he would never again see his family, that he would hear the taunts of his own brothers because of their jealousy. Forgiveness? How could we even suggest such a thing? Would you have suggested to Joseph that he forgive his brothers? Would that have been your advice if you had been an advisor to Joseph, especially in the way in which Joseph was treated? I can't even begin to imagine the pain that must have been in the heart of Joseph because of the way he was treated. We know the story. He was sold into slavery, finally found his way to a place in Potiphar's house. In Potiphar's house, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. And after a while in prison, the butler was released. But he forgot Joseph, and thus Joseph remained in prison for 2 more years. Finally, Pharaoh wants his dreams interpreted, and the butler remembers, "Oh yes, there is a man in prison, and he is able to interpret dreams." And thus Joseph comes and interprets the dream of Pharaoh, and he is elevated to second in command in Egypt, and they begin to make preparation for a famine. Well, finally Jacob has to send his son to Egypt because of the famine to retrieve food. And it's by the providence of God that Joseph is reunited with all of his brothers save one, Benjamin, who was stayed at home. They didn't know him. And they came and bowed
before Joseph, which was a fulfillment, by the way, of Joseph's previous dreams. Thus, Joseph began to devise a series of tests for his brothers. He first accuses them of being spies. And he says, you can take your food back home, but you're going to leave Simeon, your brother, with me. And it was upon that occasion that they would say in the 21st verse, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear, therefore this distress has come upon us. Oh, they had a guilty conscience because of what had happened. And they were beginning to have nightmares, and they said, surely this distress has come upon us because of the way in which we treated our brother. Well, they left Simeon and went home and brought food to the father. The food ran out, and so they were forced to come back. And when they returned, they were to bring Benjamin, much to the chagrin of the father. And because of Judah's pleading that he would be surety for his brother, the father allowed them to take Benjamin with them to Egypt. Joseph prepares a feast for the boys. They begin to wonder exactly at who this person was, for Benjamin was given preferential treatment. And they begin to wonder because the boys were sat around the table in order of age. How is it that this man could know these things? Joseph would go to a private room and weep. And then he would send them again back to the father, again with money in their sacks and a silver cup in Benjamin's sack. And he would send men to fetch them. And he would charge them with stealing his silver cup. And thus it is found in the 44th chapter of Genesis that Judah comes before Joseph pleading in behalf of his brother. I begin in the 30th verse where he says, now therefore when I come to your servant my father and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with my brothers. For how shall I go to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father? Judah says, I know that the silver cup's in Benjamin's sack, but let me be the slave, and you send Benjamin back to the father. It's with that plea that I read beginning in Genesis, the 45th chapter, beginning with verse 1, that Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph begins to weep aloud. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here, for God sent me here before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, to save your life by great deliverance. And so it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me the lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen. You shall be near me. you and your children and your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have, and there I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. And so shall you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. And he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. And moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that his brothers talked with him. There are a couple of things I want to notice from that text. Number one, Joseph initiated the forgiveness. And number two, I want to notice why Joseph initiated the forgiveness. You know, reality is that we're often hesitant to approach those who wrong us. After all, they wrong me. Therefore, they need to come to me. After all, they did this to me. They said this about me. Actually, the New Testament says that both are obligated. Jesus said in Matthew 5, if you know that your brother has aught against you, you leave your gift at the altar and go be reconciled to your brother. However, Jesus said in Matthew 18, if your brother has sinned against you, go and tell him your fault between you and him alone. But it was on this occasion that Joseph initiated the forgiveness. In fact, notice the statements that are made again in the 45th chapter of Genesis. First of all, notice in verse 3 that Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph, my father. Joseph, does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said, please come near to me. And so they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. It was Joseph that made this great revelation. And again in the 5th verse, he says, but now therefore do not be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here. For God sent me here to preserve, before you to preserve life. Joseph could have said, do you know what you did to me? But instead he says, do not be grieved or angry, but come near to me. Listen to what I have to say. Joseph is not looking upon them with bitterness or revenge or waiting for them to get on their knees and to say, forgive us. No, he says, don't just stand there. Come close to me. I am your brother. I'm afraid our reaction would be, do you know how much you hurt me? Why don't you know? Do you not understand my rights? Do you not know how much you have made me to grieve? But instead, Joseph says, please, please come near. And furthermore, in the 10th verse, Joseph says, you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. You're going to come and live with me in my presence and close to me. And in the 15th verse, it says that moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. There is this outburst of joy and sorrow. There is an outburst of excitement because finally they have been reconciled to each other. Joseph could have responded in bitterness. He could have shut him out of his life forever. He didn't have to reveal himself. But instead, he said, I want to forgive you. I want you to come near to me because I'm your brother. You know, the Apostle Paul makes a similar statement in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, in verses 30 and 31, verse 31 and 32, I'm sorry, He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You see, when I am wrong, I'm not only responsible to forgive, but I am also responsible for doing the things that might lead to that forgiveness and that reconciliation. We often want to just sit back and say, well, we'll wait and let them come to us. After all, they deserve it. They're getting what they deserve. That was not the spirit of Joseph, nor was it the spirit of Jesus. When Jesus hung up on the cross, even before 3,000 Jews would finally yield to the gospel of Christ, Jesus would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus initiated, because Jesus had the spirit of forgiveness. Look in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. Look in Romans chapter 12 and beginning with the 14th verse. Notice what Paul says in Romans 12, beginning with verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay to no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wasn't that the spirit of Joseph? Joseph would give them food and refuse payment. He would come begging forgiveness. I'm your brother, come near to me. He loved them. I'm going to tell you the commandment that Jesus gave in Luke 17. If your brother repents, forgive him. Is as emphatic as the commandment of baptism. Just that emphatic. But I want you to notice why Joseph initiates this forgiveness. Go back again with me to the 45th chapter. Notice what is stated in Genesis 45 and verse 5, 8, and 9. Joseph said, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here, for God sent me here to preserve life. And furthermore, in verse 8, he says, So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me the lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. The reason why Joseph was so willing to forgive is because Joseph begins to see the big picture. Why God has allowed all this to happen to preserve life, to preserve your life. Who knows? It may be God is working through us. But the thing that I notice about Joseph is a thing that I quite often struggle with. It's not about Joseph. It's about a bigger picture. It's about God. Oftentimes, I'm afraid we're so egotistical and self-centered. And I'm reminded of what my sweet wife once said to me. You know, you're not the center of the universe. She's right. A statement I read a while back by John Maxwell. He said, it's not all about you, so get over it. Joseph understood that. It was about God, about a bigger picture. It was about his family. In the book of Philemon, we find an example, I think, of that. The text tells us that Philemon was a slave owner. He had a man by the name of Onesimus who had apparently left him. Some suggest that he may have even stole some goods. We don't know that for certain. But while away, he became a brother in Christ, became a Christian. And in the 15th verse of Philemon the 15th verse, notice what God says. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you may receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Surely God's hand was in this. For by his departure, it has brought about his very conversion. And now Paul says to Philemon, I want you to receive him now as a brother in Christ. Yes, sometimes it hurts to forgive. But God sometimes has bigger plans. And we need to realize it. We need to acknowledge it. Now, there's one other lesson I want us to consider. And that is, forgiveness is not always difficult. I said a couple of times it's the most difficult commandment in all the Bible. Or at least one of them. But it is not always difficult. You know, one of the things that I thought about is, well, the reason Joseph forgave his brothers is because of his father. No, to the contrary. Listen to what is stated in Genesis chapter 50. Jacob is now dead. His brothers begin to have nightmares again. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. And so they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded us saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of God, your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You know why it's not always difficult? Why was it not so difficult for Joseph? Because he made up his mind that's what he's going to do. And you know why it's difficult for us to forgive? Because we don't want to. That's why. We don't want to forgive. Perhaps the greatest illustration of this is found in Luke 15. A very familiar parable. Jesus has addressed the Pharisees because they criticized him because he eats with publicans and sinners. The parable of the prodigal son. And when the son returns, you can see the imagery of the Father, the heavenly Father, beginning in the 20th verse, that when he arose, he came to his father, and when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I saw God run. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Bring the fatted calf. The son is returned home. God forgives. forgive because he wants to. In fact, he's calling every one of us home. If we leave him, he calls us home. In fact, it was because of his love that he took the initiative. I didn't bring God's Son down from here, from heaven. I don't have the power. There is no work of righteousness that I could possibly do to cause God to do what he did for me. God sent his Son to die for me. God took the initiative. And when God allowed his Son to die upon the cross, God took the blame. He became an appeasement of God's wrath. And thus God was willing to forgive. He's calling us home. He loves us. Loves you and me. Maybe there's someone here today who understands that without Jesus, you are undone because of sin. The Lord is the only answer, the only way. If you wish to obey him, we certainly would be desirous of assisting you. If you wish to come today, would you come? Stand and sing a song.
Zion's called.